how would you feel? When Satan would begin to touch your daughters and your sons by God's permission. Pretty heavy. We all have to be tried somehow through the fire. And God knows exactly what He can do, and it's all so that we can be approved of God, that we love God more than anybody else.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul had hit rock bottom on the night he surrendered his life to God, but over the past nearly 50 years, he's learned to trust the Lord's faithfulness and sovereignty, even in seasons of suffering and adversity. To learn more about Raul's story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, on this Thursday edition of Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore the Bible's opening verses in the book of Genesis. We'll see that from the beginning of time, Satan has been waging war against us. But even with his great power, he remains subject to God's absolute authority. Stay with us for a telling look at Satan's request for permission to bring suffering into Job's life. Let's listen in now as Raul continues teaching on Satan's attacks and the ways that God delivers us.
Turn to chapter 1, and let me begin, as we see in chapter 1, that Job is a perfect man. He's one that not only prays for his family daily, but he's righteous, and he loves God, and everything he does is for God. And then, beginning about verse 6, he says, "And now there was a day when the sons of God," who are the sons of God here? Angels, okay? "Came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Did you know that Satan has to check in with God? Right there it tells you. He has to check in with God. Watch what God says to him. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Satan, where you been? Where you coming from? Check in. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Well, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth and from walking up and down it." Notice that. I mean, he's a busy fellow. He doesn't sleep. Watch this. "And the Lord said to Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Whoa. "Have you ever considered to come against my servant Job, that there is no one like him in the earth, and perfect and upright men, one that fears God and hates evil?" Can God say that about you? Look at all the qualifications there in Job's life. A man that is given to God completely. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Well, let me ask you this, God. Does Job really fear God for nothing? Do you think that Job is serving you for nothing?" Notice how he's challenging God and saying the only reason that Job serves you is because you bless him. "But I'll tell you what, God, you take away everything from him and he'll curse you to your face." Satan communicates with God. He wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive me. He wants to destroy me. Watch what God says in verse 10. Here's Satan again. "Hast thou not made an hedge about him?" I mean, how can you say that he's yours and yet how can I ever get to him when you have put a hedge around him? Notice how God puts a hedge around us. He protects us. Nothing can come my way unless God allows it. Nothing. There's a hedge around me. A hedge around my family. Watch this. "And about his house, and about all that he has on every side, all his finances, everything. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance and increase in the land. But I'll tell you what, God. Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." Wow. Isn't that heavy? Hey, what would you do if you lost everything? Would you curse God? Or would you know that God is testing you? Testing your life to see how righteous and upright you are. Watch this. "And the Lord said to Satan, Satan, behold, All that he has is now in your power. Wow. He turns everything over to Satan. Now, by permission, notice that. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. What does he mean by that? You can do anything you want to him by permission, but there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot touch his life. His life is mine. Interesting. You cannot touch his life. He belongs to me. Watch this. And there, Satan immediately flew away from the presence of God, man. He didn't waste any time. He said, all right, now I'm going to do it. Verse 13. And there was a day now when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, and they took them away. Yes, and they were slain. They killed your servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped alone to tell you this. First thing he does is he begins to mess with his finances. Notice that. And while he was still speaking, there came another and said, Job, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only have escaped. More finances taken away from him. And while he was still yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yes, and have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped. Everything he has is diminishing. Everything's becoming a minus. He was a rich man. Everything is taken away from him. And while he was still speaking, another one came and said, Job, you're not going to believe this. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell on them and killed them all except me. How would you feel when Satan would begin to touch your daughters and your sons by God's permission? Pretty heavy. We all have to be tried somehow through the fire. And God knows exactly what he can do. And it's all so that we can be approved of God, that we love God more than anybody else. Pretty heavy. Watch this. And then verse 20, and then Job's reaction. And then Job arose and he began to curse God. Is that what it says? No. What did he do? That's what we would do. Not Job. And Job got up and he ripped up his clothes, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and notice what it says, and he worshiped the Lord. Wow. He worshiped God, for he knew that God was in command of his life. And he said, these are the words of Job, naked came I out from my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wow. That's a real man of God. Think of everything that he went through. Lost everything. And now Job is standing there. And watch chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them and presented himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where are you coming from? It's not that God is ignorant, okay? He's just checking in. He wants him to answer. And Satan answered and said to the Lord, from going to and fro throughout the earth and walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there's nobody like him in all the earth, perfect and upright man, one that fears God and hates evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you have moved me against him by permission to destroy him without cause. Notice that. You have moved me against him because you said, if you do all this, he will hate you. No way. And Satan answered the Lord and said to him, skin for skin, yes, and all that a man has, then he will give his life. I'll tell you what now, God. If you now move against Job and you begin to afflict Job, Job will curse you. And Satan answered the Lord, said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. He says, but put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to your face. I'll tell you what, if you make him sick, if you start messing with his body physically, he's going to curse you for sure, God. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but save his life. Notice, he cannot die.
Wow.
Satan didn't waste any time. He went from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job. The first thing he smote him with, notice, with boils from the top of his feet to the top of his head. Have you ever had boils? I've had boils before, and they hurt. Look it. He took him and postured and scraped himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes in mourning. And then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity, Job? Why don't you curse God and die? Good wife. Good comforter. Job, just curse and die. And Job answered his wife back. But he said unto her, you're speaking as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? You better mark that in your Bibles. Notice what Job says. Do we only receive the blessings of the Lord, but that means that we don't get sick? Because God, if you're righteous or not righteous, whatever the problem may be, it's always by God's permission, especially to God's children. You see, those that are not Christian, God is not protecting them. They're open game to Satan. But for us, we're protected. We have a set hedge around us. God says that. And so it's important that as we see in the beginning, God creating the heavens and the earth, that Satan in his fall came, and all he did was the destroyer. He's the harasser. He's the one that schemes up all the evils, and his ultimate goal is to destroy you and to destroy me. He wants to take us to hell with him, but not so because of God. Go back now to Genesis 1. At this speed, we'll be here for 30 years. Verse 2 again. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, now regenerating, moved upon the face of the waters. Notice that. Now God begins a recreation now. Now we're passing verse 2. And what's happening now is we're coming to the days of creation now. In verses 3 to verse 5, we have the first day of creation. And God said, let there be, the word let there be is used 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light, and there was light. Now, how can there be light before the sun is created? The sun is not created until later on in verse 14. Jesus Christ said what? That he's the light. He's the light bearer, you see. And so we know that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. To heat a beam of light to the moon, it takes only 1 second. That's how fast light travels. So imagine when God creates the light into the darkness, into the void, into everything that is in darkness. And watch this. And God divides the darkness from the light. Interesting. And God said that it was good. But then he also says this, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And did you know that you can divide light? You can. And here, this is where they got it from the book of Genesis, the scientist. And then God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then God said, let there be a firmament. And the word firmament here is literally the canopy or the expanse in the space. Before the flood came, literally the way it used to be, there used to be a canopy over the earth, like a cloud covering over the earth. and there would be no rain, but there was a mist that would actually water the ground. The whole earth was like beautiful Hawaii, beautiful green. Okay, and we'll see as we move to Genesis how it came into chaos. But here is the way he creates it. This is now the second day. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water. So there was water in the earth and water above the earth. And so he goes on and he says, and God made the firmament and divided the waters from under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. It is believed that at this particular time, the continental drift took place. Because by the time we get to chapter 10 of Genesis, you'll see that before, when they build the Tower of Babel, it is believed that the whole earth was in one piece. And then as the continental drift and the flood came and the great flip over, we'll get to that later on, there was a separation. And this is how it came about with all the languages of the world and the different ethnic groups around the world. You see, it wasn't aliens. God here is going to tell us how it happened. Then he goes on again. And so God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And then God said, let the waters again under the heavens be gathered together. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas, the oceans. And God saw that it was good. Notice everything God sees is good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb and the yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after their kind. Notice what it says, a tree after its kind. Okay? Dogs and cats don't bring dogs or cats, okay, when you made them. God made everyone after their kind. So it's a whole process here that God brings about here. And then he said again, whose seed in itself is upon the earth, and it was so. And then the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the trees yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And then God said, let there be lights in the firmaments and the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Notice how God planned the whole thing so that we can have our winter and our fall and our summer and our springtime. God prepared the whole thing. So here in the fourth day, he's creating the sun, the moon, and the stars and the seasons. And let them be for lights in the firmament and the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. The reflection of the moon from the sun to give us light. Notice that. And God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And then God said, let there be abundantly moving creatures that have life, and the fowls that may fly above the earth and the open firmament. So now in the fifth day, God is creating animal life. And God created, here's the word again, if you want to mark it, the word bara. Verse 1, verse 21, out of nothing. And God created great whales, and every living creature was moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl of its kind. God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply the earth. Notice how God filled the oceans. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And now the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth now living creatures after its kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after his kind, and every kind. Notice, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, cockroaches, everything. Notice that. After its kind. And varieties too. And God saw that it was good, ladies. Look at that. It was good. And what's incredible now is that as God creates all this stuff, all of a sudden now here comes the best creation men. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Notice verse 26, the plurality or the trinity of God. Let us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as creators. Let us make man in our image after our likenesses, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Notice that here God creates man with authority, gives him authority over planet earth. Notice that here man is spiritual, being capable of immortality. Secondly, verse 27, men becoming in God's likeness. And God created, there's that word bara again. And God created man in his own image. He didn't do that for the animals. Notice that. Man is the only one that was created in the image of God. And by the way, look what he says here. And in the image of God created him. Notice, male and female. Not male with male and female with female. Male and female. Not male and two females. From the beginning. Male and female. Okay? So, this is God now speaking. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And notice, God blessed them how? And God said unto them, hey, enjoy sex. You see, only in marriage. We'll get to that next time. But notice how God created sex for reproduction, to reproduce babies so that the earth population could actually grow. Watch, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing and that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth and every tree which is in the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, and it shall be for meat. So before the flood came, man in the garden was a vegetarian, not a meat eater. Okay? Now, don't build a doctrine around that and start becoming vegetarians. Okay? But that was from the beginning.
Well, as believers, we know we're in a constant battle against Satan. So it's good to hear today's reminder that God's sovereign power is unmatched and absolute. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's message again, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's lesson from Genesis chapter 1. To further equip you for an overcoming life with the Lord, we'd like to tell you about a resource from Jim Cimbala. It's a hardcover book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. It will show you how to effectively navigate these end times in step with Christ as you submit to His authority in your life. You'll also be challenged to pursue greater dependence on the Holy Spirit and make prayer a more integral part of your daily life. Get in touch with us to order Jim Cimbala's book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. We'll send your copy of this hardcover book for a gift of just $10 plus shipping and handling. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the book by sending a check, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. And we also have several new ways that you can access free Bible teaching from Somebody Loves You Radio. Raul now has a YouTube channel with new content posted every week. You'll find him when you search Somebody Loves You Worldwide. And be sure to check out the new app as well, available to download for free on your iPhone or Android. You'll have access to live streaming webcasts as well as our current teaching series and Raul's legacy studies. Don't forget, your spiritual health and growth is our key focus, and we welcome your input as to how we can serve you better. When you contact us for any reason, we'd love to get your feedback and let us know how we can pray for you as well. And it's your faithful prayers and financial support that keep these broadcasts on the air. On behalf of all of us at Somebody Loves You Radio, thanks for your partnership. Coming up next time, we'll see the Lord's great love on display as He creates a world filled with everything that we need, including boundaries for our well-being and permission to rest. Here's Raul now with a closing comment.
And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherever there is life, I have given you every green herb for meat. And it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Isn't that interesting? That before he said it was good, now when he creates man and woman, he says everything was very good. God was well pleased. Why? When God created Adam and Eve, when he created Adam, what did he do that he didn't do to the animals? God gave him a spirit. Animals don't have a spirit. When animals die, they're history. I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint a lot of you. But they're history. But not so with men. Man was created in the image of God. Think about that. And God said everything was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.